This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Factor. If you want to eat better this year and are looking for fast, healthy, restaurant-quality meals that are ready to eat and easy on your budget, Factor is the perfect solution. Head to factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your first month's order and 20% off your next month. That's factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hey friend, I hope you know this is Pat Boone and you and I are enjoying TV Confidential with my buddy Ed.
Ed Robertson, welcoming you back to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television. Always happy to welcome back our friend John Barber. John Barber, the five-time Emmy Award-winning writer, producer, director, journalist, cultural critic, who is also the creator, producer, principal writer, and one of the original hosts of NBC's Real People. Real People celebrated its 45th anniversary on television earlier this month. For many years, John Barber was also critic at large for KNBC Channel 4, the NBC affiliate in Los Angeles, and the longtime movie critic for Los Angeles Magazine. Well, we have talked to John about many aspects of his career during his various visits to our program. We have only briefly touched on his time and his impact as a film critic. We will remedy that and more in just a second. John Barber, welcome back to our program.
Oh, Ed, I am so, so delighted to be here with you again. Honest to goodness, you are a joy to talk to, especially since I love talking about movies, even though I don't review them anymore. And I love being with Carol Hoenig, who absolutely is sort of revitalized my reputation as the greatest film critic in American history by writing her book, The Greatest Reviews I've Ever Read. So I am delighted to be reborn on your show.
Speaking of Carol Hoenig, Carol Hoenig is also with us.
It's pronounced Hoenig, just so you know.
Honing.
That's okay. That's not, okay.
That's okay. Well, that is the beauty of the pre-record. We take this stuff out in post. So
perfect.
Although, as John would say, well, we could leave the mishap in because, as John says, it's real.
That's exactly right. Listen, there may be a lot of bumps and potholes in our road to telling our stories, and if we fall into them, we'll get out of them and leave them there because they are real. And people appreciate the reality of what it is that we do. And the most success I ever had and have always had was doing live television and live radio. So I consider, even though we're pre-recording this, Ed, that it's live anyway.
Well, as the industry term is live on tape.
So
this is live on tape. Carol Hoenig, not only an accomplished writer and publishing consultant, she worked very closely with John Barber on three books, including his autobiography / memoir, Your Mother's Not a Virgin, and a book we'll talk about on our program today, The Greatest Reviews I've Ever Read, a collection of some of the many film reviews that John wrote for Los Angeles Magazine that also discusses how those movies impacted Carol's life and the lives of many other people, including such industry luminaries as Martin Scorsese. We'll talk about The Greatest Reviews I've Ever Read and more in just a second. Carol Hoenig, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on something with John and to meet you, Ed. Ed, did we meet at...
We met very briefly about a year...
Yes.
Year and change ago.
At the Hollywood Museum.
At the Hollywood Museum, yes. Good to see you again.
You too.
Okay. John Barber is the star of your book, and John will be heard because John cannot not be heard. but we'll start by throwing you the first question, Carol. What compelled you to write a book about John's film reviews?
Well, you know, when I was working with him on Your Mother's Not a Virgin, he was talking, and I learned about him being a movie critic, and we ended up chatting, and I was like, I just love his voice. I just love his wit. And I said, where are these reviews? I'd love to see them. And for some reason, I don't think in the beginning he knew where they were, but then by some kismet, he was able to find stacks and stacks of the magazines where they were in, and he sent them to me. And, you know, and I'm of a certain age where I remember a lot of these movies that he reviewed, and I was howling, laughing at his wit, at how he described some of these movies, because I was familiar with the movies. And some of the movies I wasn't familiar with, and in some of the chapters I titled movies I wished I'd seen but hadn't, and another one's movies I haven't seen and glad I didn't, you know, so it was just, a lot of it was based on his reviews. And so I'm like, people need to read these reviews, because with TCM, you people still have access to these movies. So I think, you know, seeing somebody weigh in on it, it was kind of a fun project to work with him on.
And part of what makes it fun, and this is, to me, this is the real takeaway, Carol, of the greatest reviews I've ever read. You do reprint many of John's reviews on such known and lesser known films of the 70s. But to me, the real key is there's a running dialogue between you and John. Folks, if you can imagine a print version of an audio commentary. An audio commentary, whether you're watching your favorite movie or your favorite TV show, you're watching the episode on your screen and you can hear the dialogue, but in the background you've got one or two people commenting on what's going on, giving you some insight. That's essentially what you do with John in The Greatest Reviews I've Ever Read. There is an ongoing commentary about some of the things you just touched on, John's influence at the time and his ongoing influence on our culture, that sort of augment the specific reviews of Soylent Green or The End, or Hooper, or Cancel My Reservation, etc.
Yeah. I mean, and what I loved with the book is that when he found some letters, actually, the letters that he exchanged with Burt Reynolds, I was like, well, they have to go in the book. I think people would find them so interesting. So it's not just straight out reviews, but there's some, a lot of backstories that go with it.
The genius in her writing the book is what you just talked about, was the conversation that she had and I had about her life and my life, and it, she became the host of the interview. I was the guest, and it was just a joy talking to her, and it turned out that the reviews would pop up as sidebars and examples of the lives that we were both living.
Yeah.
I mean, The book is a work of genius. Not that my writing is genius, but she made it sound genius, okay?
Yeah, it is really an ongoing dialogue / my dinner with Andre-like conversation between you and John, Carol. And as John just pointed on, the reviews are sort of pauses, you know, road stops, you know, where...
Well, she starts by asking the very obvious question, is what qualifies you as a critic?
Yeah.
And I said, nothing. She said, well, you didn't go to school, you weren't trained, what makes you a critic? And I said, I became a critic by accident. First of all, it was to survive in life and to survive in this business. And when I became a comic, one of my idols was Lenny Bruce, and he used to do the greatest takeoffs on movies. So in my act, I started to do the same thing. And then Robin Williams used to do it, and then Jonathan Winter used to do it, and I used to do the same thing. She says, well, that doesn't make you a critic. I said, I know. She says, so how do you review? Do you review with your mind, your heart? How do you review? And I said, I review with my ass. I said, how is that possible? I said, well, listen, if my ass moves, it's a boring movie, and then I get my mind to interpret what my ass is trying to tell me, and that's how I simply write the reviews. So that is just how I always worked my entire life. I am just such a creature of impulsive instinct. I trust my instincts implicitly, because not having a family or anything else, these were the instincts were the things that kept me alive, Ed.
Well, what?
And after working with him on Your Mother's Not a Virgin, I was not at all shocked at his response to why he was a critic. It just everything, he pretty much whatever he did, he succeeded at. So
yeah, and I'm an English major. I forget who wrote it, but one of the books we read was The Adventures of Roderick Random, which is one of the first episodic literary novels, the character is allegorically named Roderick Random, and how he encounters these various things not by any plan. It's just where his travels take him, that's where he goes. And it is sort of an allegory for life itself. We may set a particular course, but it never goes in a straight way. Life is very fluid and there are curves.
Hey, John Lennon said it best. Life is what happens while you're making plans. And I never had any plans. My only dream was to be the next Jack Barr.
Yes.
That's all I can think of, right? But I had to do all these other survive. And I didn't even know I had the talent to do anything. Just in surviving, I discovered the talent. I mean, I became a movie critic by accident professionally. I was since you're in Los Angeles, you might remember, I was the very first host of AM Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was the most successful morning show ever in American history. And John McMahon was the general manager. Brad Lockman was the guy that hired me. And when I went in to meet with John McMahon, who was dressed in a $600 empty suit, he said, what is it that you're going to do that would make this show different? And the first thing I said was, well, we live in Hollywood, and so I think I would love to do film reviews live. He said, well, film reviews is a bunch of intellectual people don't go to movies anymore, so make a television. I say, look out your window up on the mountain. What does it say? It says Hollywood. This is where we make movies, and so I'd like to do them, and that's a culture that shaped the world, American movies. He says, no, you won't. You can talk about television, though. And then he said, what else can you do to make the show different? And I said, well, I have found in listening to a lot of talk shows that often the guests who phone in have better questions asked than the host, so I'd like to open up the phone. He said, not in Los Angeles. We're not in San Francisco where people are smart enough to talk on the phone. This is in a city of idiots. You will not open the phones. So anyway, when we were walking away, Brad Lockman put his arm around my shoulder. He's about 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
He said, John, listen, I've heard your reviews, I've seen your act, because I saw you on stage and you talked about movies. You do film reviews if you want every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday live, and they can't stop you from doing that. Then we'll do open phone. I must tell you, Ed, they became the most popular features of the show, and that's what resulted in my going to Los Angeles Magazine. The owner of the magazine called me.
Jeff Miller.
Bert Prelutsky was a reviewer for years.
Right, but Jeff Miller was running the magazine at the time.
Jeff was running the magazine. It was Jeff and the owner who called me because Bert Prelutsky was leaving to go to the LA Times to write a column.
Mm-hmm.
And had recommended me to replace him. And Bert wrote the funniest one-line review of a movie I ever read. It was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He said it starts off with a bang and ends up chitty. Well, you can't write better line than that. So I became their film critic, and I became Lucille Ball's favorite writer as a result of becoming that film critic. She and her husband, Gary Morton, said publicly they fought over getting a chance to read my reviews. And those I attacked the hardest, like Neil Simon and Burt Reynolds and Bob Hope, became my closest friends in the business.
And biggest allies.
Biggest allies, even though I had just decimated them. and It was a joy doing them, but you know, I was getting $150 every Monday, Wednesday, mm-hmm. and Friday, but I was responsible for 10% of the viewership, whereas Kelly Lang, who was the weather girl, was getting $100,000 a year, and she was only responsible for about 8% of the viewership. And then when I asked for a deserved raise after getting my third Emmy, they turned me down, so I had no choice but is to quit. And I heard from all of them. I heard from Neil Simon, Burt Reynolds, all of the ones I hammered, saying that I could not leave because who's going to tell the emperors of Hollywood that they're wearing no clothing? And then along came Carol and revitalized my interest in movies and my life in a way, because I just don't want to talk about politics. I mean, I have by far the most and greatest, most historical film ever made about Jim Garrison, the district attorney of New Orleans, who was played by Kevin Costner in Oliver Stone's excellent movie, JFK. It's called The American Median, the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy, which is how I met Carol about 6 or 7 years ago when I screened it in New York. Up showed this beautiful blonde to watch this movie, and I couldn't believe it. And we became fast friends ever since. And I got sidetracked into continually trying to tell Jim's salt and sabotage investigation and never got back to movies, which I loved as much as anything. And Carol brought me back to that. And it revitalized my life and my fan base, I guess.
Carol is Carol Honig. Carol is John Barber's collaborator on Your Mother's Not a Virgin, the story of John's life and career. That, like our literary friend Roderick Random, a lot of which resulted by accident, which is very much the story of life itself. Your Mother's Not a Virgin, available Amazon.com, TrineDay.com, wherever books are sold online. Carol Honig, also the author of The Greatest Reviews I've Ever Read, a collection of some of the many film reviews that John wrote for Los Angeles Magazine that discusses how those movies impacted Carol's life and all of our lives, because movies is one of the great equalizers in conversation. You may be in a cocktail party, you may be at the Hollywood Museum and know nobody, but chances are there's at least one or two movies or movie directors you have in common. So movies is the great equalizer, like television is the great equalizer. The Greatest Reviews I've Ever Read, available Amazon.com, wherever books are sold online. We'll talk some more with John Barber and Carol Honig when we get back on TV Confidential. This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Factor. If you want to eat better this year and are looking for fast, healthy, restaurant-quality meals that are ready to eat and easy on your budget, Factor is the perfect solution. Head to factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your first month's order and 20% off your next month. That's factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/tvconfidential, x.com/tvconfidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.